Hey everybody, Ian here to tell you all about the fine shows you could be listening to from the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Let's start it off with the original Stuff and Things, the podcast about everything and nothing at all, starring myself and my good buddy Chewy, where we talk about our friendship, our past, our future, our history, ghosts, clowns, sharks, dolphins, and Stan Lee. That comes out every single Friday. You can also check out Four Color Commentary, where myself, Chewy, Ryan, and Alan talk about comic books. That's right, kids, comic books. Old, new, comic book movies and news. So many comics you can't even handle it all. That comes out every new comic book day, which is Wednesdays for those of you in the know. If you're an old or new comic books fan, this is the podcast for you. And every Saturday, Ryan and I team up for an action-packed blockbuster with Super Action Bros, where we watch movies with explosions and car chases. Strap in, everybody, and get your popcorn ready, because Super Action Bros is coming your way. And finally, the dark and spooky side of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. That's right, boys and girls, get ready for some scares. It's Eyes in the Dark with Chewy, Evan, and James as they watch classic horror movies and some of those that were made just as a quick cash grab. Well, everybody, that's all the shows of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Odds are you're listening to one right now or I wouldn't even be here. Thank you so much for listening. Feel free to subscribe to us and sit back, relax, and enjoy another fine Stuff and Things Network podcast.
Your clothes. Give them to me. Now.
You're listening to Super Action Bros, a podcast to talk about movies with explosions.
Okay.
And car chases.
There were quite a few car chases in this movie. And robots that no matter, even if you blow them in half, will just not die.
Unstoppable.
Yes.
That's actually not the way the theme goes in the song.
You can hear it. It's very quiet.
No, they don't. It's the rhythm is different. This is we're talking about Terminator.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Super Action Bros. that's Ryan and I'm Ian. Hello, welcome. This is the final week of White Elephant Gift Month. The month of the last year of the last month. This is a lie. We're recording this in 2017. It's all a lie. The cake is a lie. We're a little late on this one. But this is the final week of White Elephant Gift Month, and Ryan's lovely wife Rosie, who we talk about all the time, falling asleep during movies, suggested a movie for us this time. She was the final one to suggest a movie, and she was going back and forth, you said.
Yeah, she's a big fan of sort of a lot of the 80s classic action movies, especially stuff basically if it was either Stallone or Schwarzenegger in the 80s, she's a fan of it, and she has constantly recommends that we watch those, and I was like, I'm always like, no, I like the weirder 90s stuff because that's the weirdo that I am. But so she was going back between this and Rambo and Rocky and a lot of different things, but we ended up settling on the Terminator. That's not how the theme sounds.
Every time you say it, that's what's going to happen. How does it sound then? Then I was going to say beat it up. Do the rhythm then. No, what is it?
I don't know. I haven't watched this movie in more than a week. It doesn't do the da 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 da.
It does that in two, though,
Terminator
doesn't it?
4 and 5 do.
No, that's in two, isn't it?
Less so in two, but it's like it is similar, but it is different. It's less iconic than that.
I think Chewie's in the other room doing it. But I'm sorry. I'm going to have to do it. Every time you say that word, it's going to have to happen.
You're not going to say it again.
You should probably not say it anymore. Right. So before we talk about
Schwarzenegger.
A Schwarzenegger film where he plays a robot for the first time. Let's let you guys know how you can reach out to our show. The easiest way to do that is to go to our website. It's not superactionbros.com. No. That is a website you can go to, too.
You can
exists.
Go to superactionbros.com.
But
our Tumblr.
You should also go to stuffandthingsnetwork.com and click on the Super Action Bros artwork where There's a lot of links on that page. You can listen to the show right there on the page. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. You can also reach out to us on social media. We have Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, which is superactionbros.com, Instagram, as well as Letterboxd, which is the movie review social media site. You can also email, you can also get us individually, I'm sorry, on Twitter if you'd like by clicking on our photos. But if you want to do that right now, you can reach me, Ian, at iRich. That's at IRITCH.
I'm on Twitter as well, Ryan Roop, RyanRuppe.
You can also hit the big contact us button on the front page. You want to email us, pick our show, and send us an email, give us some movies that we should watch. So all of that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So Ryan,
yeah, the Terminator. I'm gonna break that table.
That is how it goes.
It's wrong.
No, that's how it's always dun, dun, dun,
dun. But not in this movie.
Not in this one. No, but that's what that's the sound.
This is the movie we're talking about.
Right, but that's
we're not talking about the franchise. We're not doing an overview of the Terminator.
I know
franchise.
We're not, but whenever
we're talking
whenever,
specifically about the first Terminator movie, which doesn't have that in it.
I know, but I don't care. It's so synonymous with it.
This is like if we were talking about watching Star Wars. And you kept talking about Qui-Gon Jinn, and we weren't talking about episode
no, more
one
accurately,
Phantom
Menace. No, more accurately, it's like if we were talking about Star Wars A New Hope, and every time you said Darth Vader, I went, dun, 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 because that doesn't show up until Empire.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, that's an accurate comparison. But I don't care. I'm going to continue to do it.
I have noticed.
Anyway, I won't do it too many more times.
So, this movie, let's talk about the people who made it.
You can say the Terminator and I won't do it, I promise.
It's okay.
Okay.
So, I don't want to say it ever again.
Right. Are you sure you're Ryan? Ryan would normally laugh at it. Maybe you're a robot sent here from the future to kill me.
I am. I didn't even say
it. Well, yeah, but
it's
come on.
It's unavoidable.
That's his only weakness.
So this movie
Let's talk about the Terminator.
This movie's from 1984.
Yes, it is.
It was directed by the man himself, James Cameron.
James Cameron. Have we watched? I don't think we've really watched.
Which is surprising.
Any
but
James Cameron movies on this show that I can think
of. James Cameron
as
sort of this legendary director, but he hasn't actually directed like that many movies that aren't documentaries of undersea adventures.
Or a woman and a man on a piece of wood that if they would have just shared it, they both could have survived.
I mean, like, since 2000, the only movie that he's directed that hasn't been a documentary about ocean going has been Avatar.
Yeah, which apparently there's supposed to be sequels coming at some point that never is happening. I don't know. But yeah.
In the 90s,
there's a whole new Avatar land at Disney World, I guess.
I don't know. In the 90s, he directed Terminator 2, True Lies, and Titanic, and that's it. He is not a prolific director. He is a guy who wants to own his pictures from start to finish and to have complete control over everything, which is great, but is not exactly efficient in terms of time.
That's true. But I will say, the one thing I will say about James Cameron, I'm sure we'll eventually get to this movie. You've heard about the Aliens story, right?
Which one?
Where they're just like, what are we doing for like a sequel? Because they had like, I heard about this whiteboard. They had Alien sequel or something written underneath it. Or Alien or something. And he literally was like, well, what should we do? Let's call in some directors
title,
and stuff. Yeah. And so he literally walked in. And it wasn't just title. It was the whole idea for the film.
Whole idea.
So he looked at the board and said like Alien. And he just walked up there, took a dry erase marker, wrote an S at the end. Aliens. And they're like, like more than one?
Yeah.
Pay me my money.
But it's interesting because before this movie, James Cameron was really more interested in making horror movies.
Yeah, and this actually plays to me a little. I mean, it's renowned as an action movie.
But it's really more structured like a horror movie.
It's more in line with an Alien than it is with a scary movie. Yeah.
Almost like a slasher movie.
Almost.
Except this slasher uses lots of guns.
So I guess and cars and explosions, which is kind of what makes it more, it's almost like an action, it's weird to say, but it's almost like an action horror movie.
Yeah. No, I don't even think
which
it's
is
weird to say.
Because nobody.
Like structure-wise, it really is much more of a
but
horror
nobody
movie.
Ever thinks of it that way. Yeah. Whenever you hear Terminator, well, people, first of all, whenever somebody says the Terminator,
they think of Terminator.
They always jump to Terminator 2, which, to be honest, after watching this again, I'm going to spoiler alert. I think this is a good foundation for what was really the better movie, which is Terminator 2. But without, because I told you, when I was a kid, my dad would let me watch Terminator 2, but would not let me watch the first Terminator.
Sure.
And I'll tell you why, the reason we found out.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
In this, which is, I get my sweet revenge tonight. but like this is a good like setup for the premise, But I think Terminator 2 like executes it way better.
Yes.
So let's talk. And as we know, Cameron is the sequel king because Aliens, Terminator 2.
He is the sequel king.
Anyway, so let's talk about the cast and crew of this movie, though.
Sure. So we talked about
James Cameron.
He's director. This was written by him and his wife at the time, Gail Ann Hurd, who you may have heard of. I made a joke. Because she is sort of a, she is a Hollywood producer who has produced, among other things, a lot of James Cameron's movies. But she's also produced a whole lot of other stuff. Things like Dante's Peak or Armageddon. Also the Walking Dead television series.
Wasn't he also married to Catherine Piccolo at one point?
Yeah, he's...
He gets married around town.
Some people. Yeah, I think... Yeah, he, I think, also was in a relationship with Linda Hamilton at one point.
Oh, well, there you go.
Maybe immediately after this movie. Interesting story. so anyway, James Cameron gets around, but Gail Ann Hurd is the other writer of this movie along with James Cameron, and they're the ones who sort of establish the Terminator cinematic universe with this movie. Apparently, he was so into establishing the Terminator cinematic universe that the effects people and the other producers and... the people who were paying money for this movie at one point said, no more scenes set in the future. Please stop shooting them.
Because they cost so much money?
Because they cost so much money and you're the only one who cares.
No,
I mean, I disagree. They're pretty cool. But really, the focus of the movie is the stuff that takes place in 1984. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we could talk about the cast.
So, okay, of course.
Former governor of California.
Former governor, signer of Ryan's college diploma.
Signed my diploma.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is in this movie. Is this his first like big movie
role? This is not, because they actually delayed the shooting of this movie so he could finish shooting Conan.
Oh, okay. So Conan was his big thing.
Yeah.
Would you argue now he's more known for... I think this is the thing he's most known for.
Oh, yeah. No question. He is the Terminator.
This Jingle All the Way. No, I'm just kidding. This
Jingle All the Way.
I love Jingle All the Way.
The Expendables.
I would say this. I would definitely say Conan is in the top five. Like this, Commando, Conan, and what's another? Oh, Predator.
Yeah.
But I would say this is probably, when you think of Arnold Schwarzenegger, when I think of him as the Terminator.
Yeah. At this point in his career, he had done sort of some smaller stuff, and then Conan had been his big break. This movie came out the same year that the Conan sequel, Conan the Destroyer, came out, 1984.
Ryan, what is best in life?
to see your enemies driven before you.
I hear the lamentations of the women.
Yeah. And there's one other thing. I never remember what it is.
The see your enemies driven before you hear the lamentations of the women.
One day we need to watch Conan because it's ridiculous.
I know
bad.
It is. I want to watch it. I want to watch Arnold Schwarzenegger fight James Earl Jones. I want to watch the Terminator fight Darth Vader.
Oh man, it's pretty awesome.
So also we have Linda Hamilton.
Crush your enemies. See them driven before.
Crush
your
enemies. That's what it
hear
is.
Hear the lamentations of their women.
Yeah. So we have Linda Hamilton. So okay, let's talk about Arnold for a second, because he has a pretty, and I don't mean this, no pun intended, pretty robotic performance in this movie.
But I mean, he barely has any lines.
No, he is an unstoppable killing machine.
Yeah, I mean, to go back to the horror metaphor, he's the Freddy Krueger, he's the Jason, he's the Mike Myers of this movie. Michael Myers? Mike Myers is Austin Powers. Michael Myers is the guy with the knife.
Yes,
Halloween,
correct.
Right. He's really the slasher. He's the bad guy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really need to talk at all. He just needs to kill people.
Which eventually we'll get to Terminator 2. And when we get to that movie, remind me of this moment right now, because I want to talk about in that movie how things were flipped and how it was a pretty big deal.
Does he even have I'll Be Back? He has I'll Be Back in this movie.
Yeah, but it's meant in a very different context than Terminator 2.
I'll be back to kill you.
I'll be back. Let me get a car to smash your body with.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely the two Terminator lines that are most well known are said in this movie, which is...
He doesn't say hasta la vista, baby.
Oh, he doesn't. No, I'm talking about the other one.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I forgot about... Okay, third. So two of the three, he says.
But he doesn't say...
No.
He doesn't say the other one.
Which is what... Well, when we get to Terminator 2, one day we'll watch... Maybe we should just watch Terminator 2 next time.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I would watch it.
After watching this again, I really just wanted to go back and watch even the bad ones.
You know,
and
I've
watch all the ones I've
never
seen.
Three, four, or five.
I've never seen three.
You've never seen three?
No. I saw Salvation, and I didn't see the new one. The one that was Genesis.
Genesis with a Y.
Where it totally undoes, apparently, this movie and Terminator 2.
Perfect. That's what you should do if you're going to retcon the history, is get rid of the most beloved parts.
Yep, exactly.
The most critically acclaimed elements.
Speaking of Sarah Connor being recast.
Yeah, so Linda Hamilton is in this movie.
Yeah.
So, she is, it's funny because she plays an 18-year-old, but at this point in her life, she was closer to late 20s.
This is the second time Linda Hamilton has appeared this month. I didn't realize that until just now.
Yeah, no, we've watched also two of Linda Hamilton's Peak.
Yeah, she was. I mean, she's perfectly fine.
No, she's great. I mean, it's the, I think the thing that's impressive about Linda Hamilton in this movie is how well she plays just sort of like a, like her character changes over the thing, yeah, over the course of the movie. And I think somebody with less skill than Linda Hamilton would have made it dumb,
yeah,
or would have made it so they don't change. Just now they're angry.
Yeah.
Because she goes from basically being a mall rat, to being like a prepper. You know, well, like a survivalist.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of similar, not this, quite the same, but I would, to me, in my mind, I put Sarah Connor up there in like sci-fi film, maybe not quite as high as the person I'm going to say in a minute, as Ripley.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
They're similar, but they're not, I mean, Ripley, I think Ripley, if I had to, who's going to win a fight, Ripley's going to destroy. Yeah. But like, this sets up so much, that, again, this is the best setup for one of the best sequels ever made.
Yeah, well, but, and so it's really important, but I think that she does, like, it's subtle to the point that you might not even notice it happening.
Yeah, totally.
But there are definitely points in this movie where, like, you see her character and you're like, oh, an hour ago she wouldn't have reacted like this.
No, yeah, exactly.
So it's and it's probably a combination of the writing and the acting, but she acts it pretty well. She's a believable like 80s teenager who works in the mall, mm-hmm, who works as a diner, you know, as a waitress in a diner.
Uh-huh.
And then later you believe that she is going to be self-sufficient, living out of a Jeep, learning how to use automatic weapons to kill the robot apocalypse. Like, like it's
gripping
it's
onto a fence as she watches Los Angeles explode in a dream.
It's a transformation that is difficult to pull off and could have been extremely bad.
Yeah, it's true. So let's talk about our hero in the movie.
Sure.
Let's talk about Kyle Reese.
Yeah, aka Michael Biehn.
Yes. What else has he done?
He is his own grandpa. No, I'm just kidding.
He's been in a lot of James Cameron and apparently, yes, he's sort Michael of a James Bay Cameron. Joints.
He's a James Cameron stalwart at this point. He's a working actor. He's been in a lot of stuff, and not necessarily a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I just got an email about this movie.
He's in Planet Terror.
Oh yeah, that's right. He is in Planet Terror. I forgot about that.
He's been in like every cop show on the network television. He's in The Abyss. He's in The Rock. He's in movies.
He's still doing stuff.
But he's definitely not either of the breakout stars of this movie. He's perfectly serviceable in this movie.
Fun fact about Kyle Reese. Sure. Did you know? Video game history. Did you know that the design for Solid Snake on the original NES cover of Metal Gear, uh-huh, was based on a production photo of Kyle Reese in this movie?
Nice.
It's that one where he's like this. He has like the mustache stuff, has like the thing over his...
Yeah.
It's literally one of the shots where he's in the future and he has like the stuff. I was like, oh man, Hideo Kojima was like, oh, that is what I
want. Well, yeah, I mean, they basically took like that idea plus Escape from New York, Escape from...
You know me, I'm not a big fan of the shooty military video games, yeah, but that is one I'm all about.
Well, because it's not a shooty game, you're supposed to be a stealth game.
Yeah, I love Metal Gear. Not the new thing they're doing with it where it's like Metal Gear Zombies. It's not even Hideo Kojima. If it doesn't have his name on it, I'm not interested. So yeah. Anyway, continuing, let's see, who else do we have in here? Oh, Paul Winfield.
Yeah.
Who is a character actor who you have seen in a lot of different stuff?
Yeah, the rest of this cast is that guy actors.
Well,
mostly.
And one special surprise actor.
Yeah.
Did you catch him?
I don't know if I did.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah, no, I did.
Okay, I was like, what is he doing here?
Oh, it's
what's Chet doing here?
It's actually my favorite bit.
Paul Winfield has been in a lot of... He was in Cliffhanger, actually, earlier this month. He was, funnily enough, he's in Wrath of Khan. He's in a lot of...
The original Wrath of Khan.
Yes, he is... No, not Star Trek Beyond. Actually, I did watch Star Trek Beyond, by the way.
I still haven't seen it.
On Star Trek Month. I enjoyed it. You can...
Star Trek Month was over a year ago.
Man,
okay.
Anyway,
I can watch it whenever I want. I'm a big boy.
I know you can. And then we have Lance Hendrickson in here too.
Hey,
another that guy actor.
Why not?
But yeah, the fun little the
well,
fun
but there's also Earl Bowen.
Yeah, I've seen him in a lot of stuff.
He's definitely a that guy actor. Like he's the grumpy police psychologist guy who's just angry at the world.
I think we need to go back through all of our episodes and count how many times I said, was that guy in the Twilight Zone? Because I'm pretty sure that guy was also in a Twilight Zone episode. And then, of course, we have
in
our favorite, yours and mine, in the role of punk leader. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, brace yourself. Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh,
I feel
man.
Like Bill Paxton's early career is very similar in a lot of ways to
he says actually one of Arnold's lines in this that I can't say on this show, but true. It sounds like frog you ape friend, like it's I don't know what to say.
Wow.
I'm not yippee-ki-yay Mr. Falconing it. Yeah, so
now Bill Paxton's early career reminds me a lot of like Sam Rockwell's early career.
Yeah,
you're just like, what is this guy who's a good actor doing it in Ninja Turtles?
My favorite thing I saw the other day, some like weird fan clickbait article was like the American Doctors of Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
Who would it be? And the 10th Doctor. No, the 10th Doctor was Sam Rockwell.
Perfect.
I could see that. 11 was Donald Glover.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Too.
And I think they said 12 was Bryan Cranston.
Oh, yeah. All right.
All right. And then 9 was Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, that's accurate.
And 8 was Jeff Goldblum.
Oh.
And 7 was Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub's great.
And 6 was Christopher Walken. The first one was Burgess Meredith. That's all that mattered. Anyway. All
right.
Let's talk about then the MacGuffin of the movie.
Sure. I mean, it's sort of we talk about MacGuffin in a lot of movies. MacGuffin is a filmmaking term. A lot of times used in action movies. Alfred Hitchcock sort of championed the term. It is the thing that you're trying to get, the thing that everybody's trying to get in Raiders of the Lost Ark, it's the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
What would you say it is in this movie?
Sarah Connor.
Yep. pretty straightforward. Everybody wants Sarah Connor. Sarah Connor wants Sarah Connor. Kyle Reese wants Sarah Connor in a different way.
Yeah.
And obviously so does El Terminator.
Yeah. I like how you're just skating around.
Yeah, you like it? El Terminator-o. I wish you had a guitar to strum.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward MacGuffin. Like, she is being attacked by the Terminator.
Yeah.
She is being protected / followed by Kyle Reese. Mm. And even she's like, what is everybody? I want to know what's so special about me.
Well, and at one point, like, two other, what is her character's name?
Oh,
two other Sarah Connors are killed, and so the police are looking for Sarah Connor as well. Like, everybody's trying to get Sarah Connor. You know, one thing we neglected to mention when we were talking about Linda Hamilton is her bangs in this movie.
Oh, her hair in this movie.
How?
Oh, man. Her and her roommate, too, when they're like, ooh, we're ready for a night out. I'm like, no, you're not. Look at
what
you.
What is wrong with your hair? How did her bangs do that? Her bangs are like an explosion on her
that
forehead.
That one girl loves her Walkman.
Oh,
large
man.
Glasses of milk and sandwiches.
And
did you see the size of that sandwich she made?
That sandwich, I'm not gonna lie, that sandwich looked fantastic.
That's as big as that little girl's as big as that girl's face.
Cartoon sandwich.
It was like a Dagwood sandwich.
Yeah.
Like, did she? And that girl probably didn't. Nobody understood just now except you and I who I'm talking about when I say a Dagwood sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they've read Blondie.
Sure, if your dad or my dad's listening to it, they'll understand this. They'll understand.
I want a Dagwood sandwich.
Oh,
now.
Man. Great. What's the modern equivalent of a Dagwood sandwich? Anyway, that's another podcast.
Just go into Subway and get everything.
One.
I would just like it all.
All of it, please. I agree. What are some of the themes in this movie, Ryan? Are there themes?
I think so. There's sort of this idea. I mean, whenever you have a movie that involves time travel, there's that sort of subtle theme of you know, is the future set in stone or can the future be changed?
Well, and this follows one of my favorite versions of time travel,
uh-huh.
which is I commonly refer to because it's the most, well, nowadays I'd say popular one, but actually Terminator probably makes more sense, which is what happened was always going to happen that
right.
way.
Yeah.
Like haven't seen Lost spoilers, at one point they go back in time, but it turns out that they had already done that without knowing that they did it. And it's that sort of thing here. Like, so
it's John, I'm my own grandpa.
Yeah. John Connor doesn't exist unless Kyle Reese goes back in time and makes John Connor.
Yeah.
Sorry, kids. But like that's that idea of like, it's a, not a self, kind of a self, like cyclical sort of thing. Like,
yeah.
I like that idea.
Self-fulfilling prophecy,
like,
kind of a thing.
And also the idea of like, you can't go back and shoot your bit. I had a 2-hour long argument one time with my dad.
Oh, man.
About, dad, you can't go back in time and shoot yourself as a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, well, why couldn't I? Yes, I could,
that's
because I'd
just
shoot myself.
That's
because, like,
your dad's thinking of Back to the Future.
And I said, no, dad, because the second you do that, you never grow up and then I mean, time travel is all theoretical anyway, but the point is, you understand how that works. He's like, well, but it would be me. I'm like, unless you're Back to the Future and timeline skews into this tangent.
If you ever want to really hurt your brain, watch the movie Primer.
Oh, God. I still have not. I understand the first half of that movie. I don't understand the second half of that movie at all.
You need to watch it another couple of times.
There's just so many dang lines. Yeah, I saw a breakdown of it online. There's the first half, and then here's the second half. It's a weird movie. Anyway.
There's a lot of time travel and people time traveling in the past.
That is
confusing.
True. It's funny. I met Rian Johnson's stepdad one time when I was working at my old job.
Not the one who made that movie, but it's all right. Shane Carruth is the director.
Oh, that's right. But did Rian Johnson, involved?
Shane Carruth consulted on Rian Johnson's movie Looper.
Looper. Okay. There we go.
We're talking about the director now of
Star Wars Episode 8. Okay.
The script rewrite.
Let's move forward. So no. They don't have to rewrite the script.
Well.
Sad. Come on, man.
I know. Sorry.
It's too the wound's too fresh.
Let's talk about Terminator.
I went to Target the other day and it was all over People and Us magazine. Pictures of Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher. I'm like, this is the worst thing ever. Dang you, 2016. You're ruining my 2017. although apparently today the whale that was the big controversy at Blackfish passed away. Yeah, died today somehow. We talked about the time travel aspect.
But I mean, like, there's sort of this feeling of like, I mean, it's very much like a horror movie. She's been being pursued by this unknowable evil, and it doesn't make sense why he's trying to kill her specifically.
Yeah.
And
there's no reasoning with him. Those are the villains that I like the best, or the things that, I mean, I'm not scared of the Terminator, but if I found out there's a Terminator coming for me, I'd be pretty frightened because I know it's like, it's not like somebody where you can be like, please stop. Like, please don't do. Nope.
Like, you can't reason with him.
Nope.
Yeah.
He's just going to do what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, there's two things I want to talk about this being an action movie, two big things. And one isn't something we commonly talk about, but I want to talk about it because, especially because it kind of is something that's associated with this franchise, but also this movie. And maybe we can talk a little bit about it. One is, of course, the action sequences, which we'll get to. But the first thing I want to talk about, special effects.
Because,
like, there are some pretty hefty special effects in this movie.
Well, and that's now, always been James Cameron's thing.
Yeah, that's why I wanted
James
to bring
Cameron
that up.
James Cameron loves special effects.
He does.
He was a special effects guy before he was a director. So you can see then why he would love special effects.
And, like, talking about the design of the Terminator robot, do we actually ever, other than when he gets his skin burned off, do we see a Terminator robot before then? I don't think we do. Do we?
We might get a glimpse of one.
I'm trying
as
to remember.
Walking,
I'm
but
trying
I don't
to remember
because
so.
Just see the other one.
Because the one where one steps on somebody's head is in the second movie. Where steps on the skull.
The skull.
Okay, so that's the second movie. But yeah, but like we don't. That's the thing, and that thing that's really smart that like they don't show you. It's almost like they don't show you what the real monster looks like.
Yeah,
like, not
until
the
very
end,
and then it's like, oh, holy crap! This is crazy.
it's a robot skeleton with glowing red eyes chasing me. Which I don't know. I have to say, like, for the time, the special effects are now when you watch it in high definition, you're like, oh, that's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's a mask. But back then that was probably like, he's cutting his own eye out. What's going on?
And he would have just worn like a green screen eye patch.
And see, and the one thing I will say is the practical effects in this movie for the time are pretty decent too.
Oh,
like
they,
like the robot at the end is not CG'd. He's stop motion. He's like Ray Harryhausen.
Yeah, well, and puppeteered.
Is it Harryhausen who did the who?
Harryhausen is the one who did like the classic like King Kong and stuff like that. This movie, it's done by Stan Winston.
Stan Winston. That's the name I was thinking of. Stan Winston. Yes,
who was apparently like a second choice because their first choice was booked.
Really, Stan Winston is like a well-known.
He is now.
Yeah. Did this help him get to that point?
This was, I think, a big part of it.
I see. Okay. Because, I mean, Jurassic Park and a rock, anything with puppeteering.
Well, Jurassic Park
like
was ILM.
Well, but.
And Stan Winston.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, like, his name comes up when you look at all these bigger action franchises that have any sort of small amount of puppeteering in it in any way, whether it be, you know, a little like a claymation model like that or something where it's like stop motion or. I don't know. I think for the time, they're probably pretty impressive. Now, I mean, you look at them and they're like, and even I will say for the second one, where they have an entirely CG character, there's a lot of practical effects, which you don't normally see anymore. Cars really exploding, cars really chasing down the road. We don't see a lot of that anymore. I mean, I just went, Star Wars is a bad example, but I'm trying to think of like a action movie. The only thing I can really say that's even close to that would be like those Fast and the Furious movies that we watch. But I don't know. I I thought that was an important thing to mention as far as like the special effects in this movie were probably at the time pretty expensive and probably pretty interesting. But let's talk about some of the action sequences. So let's talk about the best action sequence. What do you think the best action sequence in this movie is?
I mean,
what's your favorite?
The part with the robot.
That's the whole movie, right?
No, no. I mean, like the part where the tanker truck explodes mm-hmm. and burns him to the crisp, and they're like, "Oh, we're finally fine." And it's just like,
that one's.
Oh, he's still around.
That one's pretty good. I also, I will. Here's the one thing I will say with James Cameron: that future scene where they're driving away from like the.
Oh the yeah, the like Mad Max future.
Yeah.
Scene.
Oh my God, how cool is that? Yeah, and there's like they're shooting awesome. Lasers, and like everyone's dying left and right.
Yeah,
and then they get to the underground thing, and like it's just a it's a hellscape where they're just like this is the future. Oh my god, I love that shot, by the way, where they're in the future and and it's Kyle Reese. He's going to this like base. He's looking underground. He's got kids who are like sick, like look all like dirty and gross. And he looks over and you see two kids watching a television screen, and there's light coming from the screen.
Yeah.
And then they cut to the shot behind them, and this TV just has like a fire in it, like they're keeping warm by it. And you're like, oh God, what a hellish existence the future will
be. They can't even watch TV.
They have to look at fire to imagine TV. Like, it's, would you want to live here, kid? No. Like, it just made me laugh. I'm like, oh, thanks, James Cameron. We get it. This is pretty, this will be bad if this happens. The machines will just win. But little do we know that this didn't matter. Anyway, Judgment Day will always find a way to come around.
That's true.
The whole ending sequence with, I mean, I think there's a lot of like smaller action sequences in this movie. There's not a lot of like big, there's a lot of car chases.
Yeah.
There quite are, a few car chases.
Surprisingly, a lot of car chases because this movie was really low budget. So actually a lot of the car chases and stuff were shot sort of guerrilla style. Like they didn't have permits. Cops didn't know what was happening, mm-hmm. and they just sort of did them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the ones with cops and the ones where they like shut down what looks like LAX,
mm-hmm.
those had permits. But some of the other ones, no.
No.
They just shot stuff. Like the scene where the Terminator steals the car at the mm-hmm. beginning, they like just went out and shot it.
Yep.
Yeah. Just went to a neighborhood, showed a big Austrian dude in a jean jacket stealing a car.
That's another thing too, is like he doesn't put on the iconic leather jacket until about like halfway through the movie.
Yeah, no, he's dressed like a punk the whole
time. Yeah, he's and that's the thing, that's the other thing that's kind of weird about it, is that it's kind of strange. Let's talk about
it's funny because looking back on it, it almost feels like a prequel.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is whenever you're watching a movie that's a prequel, that is something that's supposed to precede something that you already know exists, it feels like a lot of the purpose of the movie is just to get everything in the spot that you expect it to be.
And
this movie also feels like that, but it wasn't a prequel.
This was
the first one.
And all
but it's really just sort of moving everything into place for Terminator 2.
Well, and you know what that means then? That stands to be like, that is the thing about Terminator 2 that's so great. Like, it's so good that it makes the movie that it's a sequel to feel like a prequel that was made later because of all the things that are so iconic that are, it's so great.
Yeah, I guess it had a lot of budget problems. This movie did.
I'm not surprised.
And it was only like from influence from other people who saw it that made them promote the movie at all.
Speaking of action sequences, let's talk about one more action sequence.
Well, it's a different kind of action.
Yeah. Ryan.
Yeah.
So if you guys are fans of the show and listen to our show, I was told by Ryan, Rosie is debating between two different movies.
It's true.
Debating between like Rambo or like The Terminator, because we haven't watched any of it. And the second I heard I said The Terminator. And you were like, oh, okay. Like, wow, that's really, you're very serious about that. Why? And I said, because now I can get to rub something in Rosie's face. Rosie always gets on me.
Yeah.
Because the movies I pick tend to have topless females in them.
Surprise,
quite often.
Surprise.
By no fault of mine. I don't pick them purposely. I swear on my own grave one day that I will die.
She's never going to forgive you for Blood Rain, man.
So, I didn't know. I'd never seen it. I just thought, like, this is going to be awful.
Don't watch
Blood
movie.
Rain. And so, ever. She's supposed to fight Nazis, by the way, in the video game. Anyway, This movie
also
has some surprise boobs.
Yeah, Linda Hamilton is.
Although not as egregious as some of the ones I have, but
So what my wife says we're watching when that scene comes on, she's all boobs.
I told Ryan to like act like you were shocked and appalled.
I didn't.
Oh, you ruined it.
No, because she was surprised. She goes, boobs, huh? You're welcome, Ian.
Yes, I've won the battle, but I've lost the war. and that was the reason my dad wouldn't let me see this as a kid. Well, yeah. It's
barely there.
It's not even that bad. Like, it's the violence in this movie is far more egregious than that 20. I remember that. I don't know. Maybe it was just because I was like, oh my God, this is taboo, or I'm a kid, I shouldn't be seeing this. I remember that scene being like 10 minutes long when I first watched it. No, it's literally a minute and a half, 2 minutes max. But like, Arnold shoots people in the head.
Yeah.
And like, that is more egregious than the nudity. Yeah, this movie is
pretty violent.
Yeah.
It's definitely an R-rated movie, and you can tell that they had to tone things down a lot to make the next one. The next one's PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can tell.
Money. So I don't know. I overall though, I think like, I like the Terminator. I think like, I agree with you. I think that's the best way to describe it, is this movie is a great prequel to Terminator 2, which is in my mind almost at this point is like the first movie because it's so good.
Yeah.
Like, it is one of those movies.
It's also the first one that most people saw.
And it is one of those movies that like, people always say, well, Empire is better than Star Wars. Yeah, but Star Wars, like this, that is the movie where almost Terminator 2 has almost eclipsed the original.
Yeah.
Because it's so big and so huge. Mm-hmm. And so this almost feels like, I don't know, it's kind of like, you know, I can think of another one, but it's more horror movie. It's like Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
Evil Dead 2 has just become like the bigger, better version of the, you know, Evil Dead that existed already. So, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like another example. Maybe Aliens, but Alien is so pretty good. Like, it's really good. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It just feels like it's good, but it's not, I mean, it's not as good as Terminator 2, but it's good. It's almost like if I had to rank them as the best Terminator movies, this would, this have to be like number two though. I couldn't put it in chronological order. Like, number two is way better than this, but I haven't seen this in a long time. I think last time I saw it is I rented it on VHS. No, it was DVD. Rented it on DVD from the library.
Nice.
Because my dad let me rent it.
Nice.
But that was like, I was probably
in high school.
Maybe 14, 15.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was like, I don't know why my dad held off on that, but other movies were okay. So, I don't know. Because
they make a baby.
I guess so.
You know.
My dad took me to see a Quentin Tarantino movie before he let me watch The Terminator, sure.
That's actually surprising.
Well, Kill Bill, but, you know.
Yeah, still.
Anyway, yeah.
I mean, it turns black and white when they get too bloody.
Does that make you feel old that Kill Bill was the first Tarantino movie I ever saw?
It does make me feel old, actually.
He let me watch all the other ones after that.
I mean, to be fair, it was the first one I saw in theaters. Yeah. So.
Oh, man, I remember seeing that. We'll have to do Tarantino
one of these days.
But now that Hateful Eight is out, we can round it out. Yeah. Anyway, so what do you think, Ryan? What are your final thoughts on it?
I mean, I like this movie. It's weird that like you watch it expecting this classic action movie and it's not.
No, it's really not. It's different than what I expected.
It's really much more of a horror movie, but instead of a guy with a knife, there's explosions and machine gun fire and cars smashing into walls.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love that stuff, but the structure is different than an action movie.
Yeah, it's a horror movie.
It's structured like you're just running from this guy the whole time. And then it turns out he's not just a guy, he's a robot from the future bent on your destruction. You know, like you do. It's great, but it's like, if I feel like everybody, I think you're right. I think everybody thinks of Terminator 2 when they think of Terminator.
I mean, half this episode we talked about Terminator 2. Yeah, because that's how iconic it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's good though. I would definitely not say like, I wouldn't say skip it. I would say
you should definitely watch it. It's great.
It adds a lot more. But if I were to tell people like, oh, she just jumped to Terminator 2. No, like watch Terminator.
I don't know. I feel like,
well, here's why. Because it makes the big element of Terminator 2, Arnold,
yeah,
like a bigger deal.
That's true.
So much so.
Seeing this first, then when Arnold's a good guy in Terminator 2, spoilers, the movie came out.
What's crazy about it is in the trailers, they never showed that Arnold was the good guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
so,
surprise.
So you just saw Robert Patrick running around and then chasing Arnold Schwarzenegger, so you figured, oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger must be bad again.
Yep.
And then apparently, no, it's the opposite way around, which I think is pretty, that's a pretty big deal. Like to be like, hey, that's like if all of a sudden in the next movie, there was a killer worse than Freddy Krueger. And so Freddy Krueger's like, I guess I'll partner with these teenagers to stop him. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
But it works so well.
It does.
I don't know. Like, I feel like this, definitely watch this. It's a good movie.
It holds up. It's a great classic. It's kind of foundational for action movies.
It has kind of an indie feel a little bit, yeah, too. It has kind of like dirty, it feels low budget, but I mean, obviously with the special effects and the future scenes, it's not that low budget.
Yeah, but it has the same feel as like kind of early Tarantino or early Robert Rodriguez,
yeah,
like other guys who were I wrote it, I cut it,
kinda,
I shot it,
kind of, well, you know,
but obviously with more,
but also has that effects, like RoboCop,
yeah,
side of, mm-hmm, it, which I know came later, but
same kind of idea.
I feel like RoboCop owes a lot to this movie too.
Oh, no question. Oh my gosh.
And then there was a video game. You know about the video
RoboCop
game?
RoboCop, right? Is basically, well, what if Terminator was the good guy?
Ryan, you've heard about the video game, right?
What video game?
RoboCop versus Terminator.
Perfect.
There's a comic book too.
Oh man.
If I'm correct, I'm pretty sure who probably wrote the tie-in.
Frank Miller.
Yep. So
Frank Miller actually wrote the screenplay for RoboCop 2.
Yeah, and 3, right?
Yeah.
Oh boy, Robert Cop. So Ryan, what is your final rating for that? Oh, by the way, did Rosie stay awake the entire time?
Oh yeah, she did. She liked it. Although it was really funny because we're watching this movie and like she was like, I don't remember this. I don't remember this. And I think like halfway through the movie, she realized she
had only seen Terminator 2.
Was thinking of Terminator 2 when she said the Terminator, which is, again, what everybody thinks of. She's like, I don't know that I've seen this movie all the way through.
Well, there
actually.
You go.
So, yeah, I think it's great. I think it's a classic.
The one thing I will say, too, it also has a pretty complicated, weird, crazy plot. Like the idea of like, I'm from the future and your son's led a robot. And they do a really good job of explaining it,
yeah,
and not going over somebody's head.
But they also,
like,
they
my
also,
mom can understand what happens in the
really
Terminator.
They also really don't over explain it.
Yeah.
You don't get Skynet.
No.
They don't tell you about any of that yet.
No, not
just
yet.
In the future, robot war, your son's the guy.
Your son's the guy.
We better keep
I
want to
be the guy too.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, what's your rating out of 10?
I think this is a really good movie. I want to give it an 8.
Okay.
It seems really high though now that I think about
no,
it.
No, it's not.
But I think I'm going to give it an 8. Punk outfits out of a possible 10.
Okay, I'm going to give it, I'm probably going to give it an 8 as well. I'm going to give it 8 pipe bombs shoddily made in a motel room.
Perfect.
With a kitchen.
Yeah.
With a kitchen.
With a kitchen.
Where the rates are probably hourly out of 10.
The Tiki Motel.
And Blockbuster or lackluster?
Oh, it's Blockbuster.
Absolutely.
No question.
I would say you definitely should watch this one. If you like this one and Terminator 2, in my opinion, are the only Terminator movies probably worth watching. I haven't watched them all the way through, but I can tell you based on my assumption, they probably are.
I feel like every time I've brought up recently that, oh, I'm going to watch The Terminator, everybody who has said, oh, I haven't seen that in forever.
Yeah.
Watch,
it's been
watch
a while.
It.
It's
watch
good.
It,
it
worth
still
watching.
Holds up. It's good.
Get it in your brain.
So,
in your eye holes.
Well, thank you guys for joining us for Terminator. That ends White Elephant Gift Month. So normally this is where we tell you about the next movie we're watching, but the Stuff and Things Podcast Network, we've announced it on the other shows, and you guys are just latecomers.
I tweeted
to the party,
about it,
sorry,
too.
That we are taking a month-long hiatus on January. We're coming back in February, I believe. We'll probably have our first episode either the first weekend or second weekend of February. We're still figuring that out,
yeah,
logistically. But we will be back, we promise. We're not announcing our movie. We'll probably tweet it out to you guys if you guys want to watch it. We're still kind of figuring out if we want to do like a theme month or what we're going to do. We're taking a break to
we've done clean
house.
Almost 160 episodes of this show.
Oh my goodness.
Every week for nearly three years.
Oh,
so we figured.
Are
we
missing our anniversary though, Ryan,
off,
or is that in February?
Our anniversary will come a little bit later.
Okay, so well,
I figure we could take a week off. It'll be.
I
all right.
Figure we'll take a month off.
Yeah, we'll take a month off.
But if you guys haven't, if you guys are catching up, or if you haven't, go back and listen to some of the old episodes. I've done it every once in a while. I listen to Speed Racer every so often and hear us cry. And hear my voice break, my voice crack, and The Incredibles too. Like I've listened to our older episodes every once in a while, and just hear my voice crack.
Some of those poor fools that we used to be.
Oh yeah, when we still don't know what we're doing on this show. So anyway, guys, so that was The Terminator. That is our show. So thank you so much for joining us for this reminder. We'll be back in February of this year, and please don't forget. Remember,
whether it's Blockbuster
or lackluster, we're the super action bros.
We never said, "Come with me if you want to live," which doesn't say anything.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.